And so I'm going to invite you to not only come up with some long-range goals like 5, 10-year, 20-year goals, but also break them down into where will you be along the spectrum of 1 year from now or 9 months from now or 6 or 3 months from now. And the way that we can actually accomplish these goals is through the power of a daily action commitment. So let's look at each of the areas, and I'll give you a couple of examples in each. Rick, you mentioned going to the gym. You know, that's a great daily action commitment with respect to your health or your appearance. Perhaps watching what you eat, maybe giving up fried foods or cigarettes if you happen to smoke, or avoiding drinking excessively. Or maybe you're going to take extra care of your teeth and get those crowns done that you've been putting off. Or maybe you'll floss daily. You'll do something that's actually going to support some area of your life to move forward with respect to your health or your appearance. And I'm going to invite everybody listening on the call this evening and those listening to this recording to actually pick a goal in which your health or your appearance would be impacted and to look at what would make a difference for you there. The next area of wealth and finances or career and occupation, some examples would be perhaps you're going to start saving. Maybe you'll save a certain dollar amount a day, maybe say $25 or $50 a day. Or maybe you'll invest that amount on a daily basis where if you can invest $20 a day, that's about $600 a month, which is about $7,000 a year. And so that's just a baby step with respect to creating an investment portfolio. And, you know, you'll pick the numbers that work for you. Maybe one of the things that you'll do is that you'll send out some resumes if you're looking for a job, and you'll send out 2 a day or something along those lines. Maybe you'll strengthen your relationships with the people that you work with to further your career that way. And so there's a lot of different things that we can do in each of the areas. In terms, speaking of relationships, maybe you'll do something positive to empower your spouse on a daily basis. Or maybe you'll connect with a new friend once a month or revisit an old friend. Maybe you'll acknowledge someone for some way that they've contributed to your life in some way. So there's a lot of ways to build relationships, and I'm going to invite everyone listening to actually pick a way that actually supports you to put the emphasis on working on some aspect of your relationships with someone. And, of course, a big part of relationships is family. So, you know, maybe you'll spend half hour a day talking to your family, being with them, being really present and listening to them. Maybe you'll spend some quality time with a different person every day where you actually do something special with a different family member. Maybe, you know, you'll have at least one meal together as a family daily. Or maybe you'll take your kids out and do something nice for them once a week. Maybe there's someone in your family that you haven't forgiven for something. And maybe, you know, your action will be to forgive them and to move forward and to tell them something nice about themselves. Maybe tell them that you love them or something like that. In the area of personal or spiritual development, maybe you'll read 30 minutes a day in one of these areas, or you'll listen to some tapes that do something to move those forward for you. Maybe you'll hire a coach and you'll work on developing a new personal development principle a day. You know, or maybe you'll participate in an accountability report with some of the people that want to share in personal development, and you'll look at a different principle, like the principles in the Success Code, for example, where you'll actually take a principle and you'll map it onto your life and you'll see about how it'll impact your life in some way. And the same is true with recreation and fun. Maybe you'll spend a half hour each day doing something just for you. Maybe it's taking a bubble bath, or maybe it's playing a little golf, or maybe it's going for a walk with your dog. You know, something that will give you joy and allow you to have some fun and really do something just for yourself. In the area of self-esteem, I'm also going to ask you to take a look each day at championing yourself in some way. And when you can champion yourself, it could be by acknowledging yourself for something that you did that day. It could be by forgiving yourself for something that you've been holding as a grudge against yourself, or it could be by forgiving someone else that you've been mad at for too long now. So it could be treating yourself to something special, or it could be to actually do something that will move your attitude forward. Either that's listening to inspirational audio tapes for a half hour a day, or maybe a coaching session once a week. Something that will support you to actually allow yourself to see that you're worthy and that what you're doing is actually moving your attitude forward as well as who you are. And so I'm going to invite you to take each of those areas and to actually record something down in your journal that you're going to do to impact each of those 6 areas on purpose at least once a week, if not on a daily basis. Okay, so let's shift now and look at when we create a vision and we create some goals and we create an intention to move things forward in our lives, what is the first thing that usually happens to us? Anybody know? I'll give you a hint. It's a problem. Whenever we have a commitment, we have problems that show up that stop our commitment. So I'll give you an example. Rick says he's going to go to the gym tomorrow. And what happens is, you know, the car breaks down. Or perhaps his wife says, you know, I need you to do this for me, which is going to take a couple of hours today. And so whenever we have a commitment, challenges show up in such a way that they get in the way of our commitment. And I want to say a little bit about these challenges or problems that we face. We usually hold in our society that problems are bad and there's something to be avoided, and that people that have problems, there's something wrong with them, and so we usually avoid those people too. And I'm going to really invite you now to actually start to shift your relationship to problems in such a way that you actually look for them, that you start to embrace them in such a way that you start to say, what is a problem that I can declare today by looking for it that actually has a gift for me within it? Because, you know, every problem that we can encounter, there's a way for us to grow and to learn and to really surmount the problem in a way that moves our lives forward and our self-esteem forward. And if we can start to focus on what are those problems that we can declare so that we can look for the gifts that they offer instead of avoiding them, we'll have a whole new relationship to when the challenges do show up, where we won't run from them, we won't get angry at them, we won't try to avoid them, but we'll instead welcome them with the expectation that there's something for us to learn here. And the same is true for any argument, for any conflicts, for any upsets, because within each upset is a lesson. It's an emotional lesson, if nothing more, where we can start to look at how are we reacting? How are we acting in such a way that doesn't support the decision of who we've decided to be in life? And so I'm going to encourage all of you to start taking this on and to start identifying a problem a day where you can actually declare the problem and can look at, what do I need to get? What do I need to learn that will help me to advance through this problem and to use it to my benefit as opposed to having it stop me? Now, with all of these tools, there are a number of accountability structures that will support you to be on track and to actually manifest these ideas into your life. One is to hire a coach, and that is someone who can keep you accountable to doing what you say that you'll do, somebody that will champion your progress. And there's a lot of different places that you can get coaches. Besides hiring professional coaches like we provide at the Center for Personal Reinvention, one possibility is to ask someone who has success distinctions in a particular area to coach you in that area. So for example, if I wanted to go to the gym and develop an exercise program, I would hire someone who is skilled in that arena to be my coach. If I wanted to invest for my future, I'd hire a financial planner who's skilled in that arena. If I wanted to take on personal development or spiritual development, I'd hire someone who could support me with those distinctions. So it's important to actually look to partner with people either as mentors or as accountability people in the areas where they hold distinctions that you are looking to develop. It's also a great thing to get together with people who share the same values, who share the same desires to expand in an area. So if you want to build relationships, maybe you'll get together with some friends who are working on their relationships, or the same for people that are putting fun into their lives. The same for example, if you're working on your weight or your health, you'll work with people who have similar goals and you'll create accountability structures with these people. And so I'm going to invite you to create some sort of support structure so that the things that we've been talking about these 3 weeks don't just live as a good idea that, you know, in week number 4 they're gone. I'm going to invite you to actually come up with a daily action commitment where you're doing something to move your life forward in each of these areas every day. And I'm going to ask you daily to report to someone whether you did your action that you've committed to or not, and what will you do tomorrow that will make a difference in any of those areas. And you're also going to ask yourself the question that what worked well for today and what was missing that if put into place the next day would support you to move that area forward. And so I'm going to invite you to create mastermind groups to brainstorm possibilities and to actually hire that coach in the area that is most important to you to move that area of your life forward. Actually look at what are the resources that you need to put into place that are missing right now that you need to have in order to make that area that you want to work on appear. So, for example, if you want to build a relationship with someone, perhaps you'll hire a relationship coach. If you want to lose 20 pounds, maybe what you'll do is you'll hire that fitness trainer. So there are things that might be missing to support you to move in that direction, and I'm going to ask you to look at and identify what those missing areas might be so that you can start to put them into place on purpose. Now, with respect to self-esteem, I want to also point out that, you know, we're really good at judging ourselves harshly typically, but we're not very good at acknowledging ourselves daily. And so one of the things that I'm going to invite you to do in your journal is to start to acknowledge yourself in a way that you actually take credit and you start to become proud of the things that you accomplish. And these can be in any of these six areas. You know, identify the area that you're working on and acknowledge yourself for something. It's the sort of thing that if you envision being at a fork in the road, and this is in the shape of a Y, so if you just draw a Y on your paper, where the branch of the Y meets, you're at a critical juncture there. You're at a moment of decision. And to the extent that you can start to recognize when you have the ability to act in a way that supports you to move your life forward in one of those six areas that we discussed, then you can take some bold action that moves you, let's say, onto the right path, the path of heart, the path where you're in alignment with your values, where you're building self-esteem, where you're actually forgiving yourself and loving others and moving things forward, as opposed to the left path, which is maybe what you're typically accustomed to doing, which is perhaps beating yourself up or maybe taking the easy way out or stepping over things or hiding out or playing small, or maybe it's being driven to do the things that you've always done. So I'm going to invite you to start to recognize that we have moment by moment in our lives the opportunity to recognize when we can make decisions that can lead us to that path of heart, the path that actually leads us to elevating our self-esteem by feeling better about who we are, by actually acknowledging ourselves for doing something, as opposed to doing those things that continue to erode our self-esteem, where we actually continue to beat ourselves up. One of the exercises that I'm going to invite you to take on at least once a week, if not daily, is to actually write a 100-word paragraph describing some quality that you're going to acknowledge yourself for. So in other words, you're going to start identifying something special about yourself. You're going to catch yourself doing something commendable or worthy, and you're going to start writing a paragraph about that trait that you've exhibited. So, you know, maybe the trait is courage, where you decided to go to that gym and you decided to work on that weight loss plan. Or maybe the trait is forgiveness, where you decided to give up your grudge against someone. You decided to forgive them. Or maybe that person's yourself, where you decided to forgive yourself for something that you did years ago that you've since been beating yourself up mercilessly time and time again for. You know, or maybe you'll acknowledge yourself for being a good friend or a good listener. So there's a million different qualities that you can start paying attention to, that we all share different gifts. And when we can start to acknowledge ourselves for the things that we do, we can start taking responsibility for really building our esteem on purpose. And when it comes to responsibility, I'd like to speak a little bit about what I mean by responsibility. In our culture, we sometimes hold it that responsibility involves blame or fault or burden and judgment and guilt and all of those things. And I'm going to offer you a different interpretation about responsibility, and that it's actually the ability to respond in a way that supports you best. I'm going to invite you to look at, on a daily basis, where are you not being responsible for making your life work and raising your self-esteem? In other words, where are you beating yourself up for something or not taking responsibility for moving your life forward? Where are you neglecting your needs? Where are you not honoring your values? Where are you resigned to living in a way that doesn't support you? You know, is it at work? Is it at a job that doesn't support you? And where are you not being responsible for making that job work or getting out of that bad situation? Well, same with relationships. Where are you not being responsible for making a relationship work? Where are you not committed to the relationship, but you're just putting up with the struggle and the suffering that goes on? You know, where are you living life in a dimmed manner? And I'm going to invite you to take a look at any of these areas and to actually look at, what could I put into place that would actually move the situation forward for me? And one of the places that I'm going to ask you to look with respect to this responsibility is to see if there's a request that you can make of any person in particular who can support you to move this area forward. Now, requests are the engines that actually move actions forward. And the reasons why we stay stuck and we don't move our lives forward is typically because we're not accustomed to making powerful requests. Let me say a little bit about what constitutes a powerful request. A powerful request is clear and it's direct. It specifically is directed to the person who can influence whatever it is that you're looking to influence. A powerful request is also clear and is grounded in time. In other words, it has a specific by-when date established. In other words, if you wanted to break it down, you might say something like, I request that you take this action by this date. In other words, you're specifying exactly what your request is, and you're specifying by when you're making the request of a person. Now, there is a lot of different possibilities when you're making requests. You can make them powerfully by speaking them in a way where you're paying attention to how people are listening to you so that you make sure that you're heard. And remember that whenever you make a request, the person that you're making the request to has a few different options. They can either agree to your request, they can decline your request, they can counteroffer your request. In other words, John, I can't do this, but I can do this instead. Or they can tell you that I'm not ready to answer you right now, but I'll get back to you by this time. So just by knowing that those four options are present, you can support people to actually help them to answer your request in a way that moves things forward. So I'm going to also ask you this question. With respect to your self-esteem, since that's what these three sessions are all about, what requests can you make that will raise your self-esteem and better honor your value as a worthy person? I'm going to say that one again because it's very important. Daily, what requests can you make to honor your self-esteem and honor your value as a worthy person? Let me stop here for a moment, see if there are any questions or comments from anyone before we continue. Anyone have anything out there?
It could be business-oriented, right?
Remember, business, Chuck, is one of the six areas. So it could absolutely be business-oriented. It could be, as a matter of fact, if you're looking to build a business, I know that you're involved in network marketing and you're looking to build a business there, a powerful tool is to make a request of the people that you're speaking with, whether they be prospects or people within your organization, because we expect people to just naturally do the things that we expect them to do, but perhaps we're not sure where they're stopped. And one of the sure ways of moving our businesses forward is to make requests of people that are in their best interest, in other words, that they can hear and appreciate, that it's not just about us, but it's about them. And we can actually make the request in such a way that they get that we're concerned to support them in some way so that they can honor the request out of seeing how it supports them.
And knowing that it's either they're going to accept it, decline it, alter it, or delay it, that would, knowing that ahead of time, detaches me from the outcome and getting emotionally involved. Is that a correct assessment?
That is correct. And you also can let people know that those are their options. You don't have to say it just in those words. But, for example, let's say when you're speaking with a prospect, one of the ways that I would say it is, I'd like to look with you to see if there's a fit. And if there is, great. My commitment will be to support your success in every way and to work with you to put into place all the elements that will support that success. And what I'm telling them is that I'm going to be making requests of them that support their success. I'll also tell them that if it's not a fit, then that's perfectly fine. In other words, I'm giving them permission to decline the request to join me in partnership. And I'll let them know that that's also an option, that I'm not attached, that they have to do something. Because if your requests have an attachment to them, they're not requests, they're demands. And so you provide room for them to comply or to decline the request or to counteroffer it. What a counteroffer might look like is, no, I'm not ready to come in now, but maybe I'll be ready to come in next month or the first of the year. Or maybe they're not ready, and maybe the option is that they have to speak with the spouse or they have to review a website or they have to do some more due diligence in order to get back to you. So those are the four areas, and when you can get powerful about using requests to move people forward, you'll also be elevating your own self-esteem because what it is a powerful tool that increases your personal power in producing a result in the world.
Yeah, very good. I could see where if I have an attachment, it becomes the man, then I come across as being pushy and intimidating.
Yes. And you also don't give people the room to be in choice. And when people aren't in choice, they become angry and their communication shuts down. And you can't make people do things. You can maybe get them to do something short term, but in a business relationship where you need them to be self-motivated, you need to find value for them in a way where you can move them forward in a way that supports them.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Let's talk for a moment about how we can also champion other people to have high self-esteem. You know, sometimes when we're so concerned about ourselves, we forget that 85% of the world's people suffer diminished self-esteem in some way or another, or multiple ways. And so when we can put ourselves in the other person's shoes and we can create some room for their humanity by suspending judgment about who they are and maybe giving up our right to control them or dominate them excessively, we actually allow them to be who they are without an attachment to their actions. And, you know, for those people listening who are in relationships, one of the best ways to champion a relationship with a spouse or a significant other is to actually come from 100% commitment to championing the other person, expecting nothing in return. And what will happen from that commitment is oftentimes the other person will give up the resistance that comes with making them do something and being obstinate and all of the things that create struggle and upset in our lives. And when we operate out of this 100% commitment to other people, zero expectation, what we often get is a much higher degree of commitment on their parts, because who we've been is shifting in our relationship with them in such a way that we're no longer imposing our will on them. We're not forcing them to do things that they don't want to do, but we're actually believing in their magnificence and their ability to be who they are, and we're actually championing them to be who they are. And one of the greatest ways to build a relationship is to create room for other people's stuff. You know, we all have stuff, and we oftentimes expect people to forgive us and to make allowances for our stuff, but we're often not willing to do the same for them. And so one possibility would be to actually suspend judgment on them and us and actually create some space for them to be who they are and to see how we can support them to show up in that space that we created without judgment, without berating them, without putting them down or making them small. And what we'll find is that our own self-esteem will increase to the extent that we can actually champion other people to increase their self-esteem. And remember that the antidote to the unending cycle of judging and dominating and suffering is love. When we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive others and actually act out of this commitment to love, we can actually put into place a whole new energy that will support our relationships, it'll support our business success, it'll support our charismatic factor. In other words, we'll be attracting people more to us. And so here are the questions that I'm going to ask you to take on. And these are especially true in times of stress or an upset. I'm going to ask you to ask yourself these questions. The first is, what would I do now if my actions were based in love? Now, this is a good question to ask when you're trying to get someone to do something for you. So what immediately will do is it'll allow you to put yourself in the other person's world and to look at how can I support this person best, as opposed to how can I manipulate them or control them. The next question is, what would I do if I really loved myself? All of the driven behaviors, all of the behaviors where we abuse ourselves, either by abusing our bodies through smoking or alcohol or drugs or, you know, deprivation of something, all of that would go away if we started to look at, if I really loved myself, what would I do now? You just might find that you're starting to interact very differently with yourself and with others when you ask those two questions. The other question, the third one, is how would I respond if I truly loved this other person? In other words, what you're doing is now you're giving up your right to dominate and control, and you're acting out of love and contribution. And when you do that, you're accessing a lot of powers. One is the power to forgive, another is the power to create, and the third is the power to restore your own magnificence. So all of these powers make you effective because you now have the ability to impact people's lives, including your own. Because you're no longer manipulating, you're no longer set on controlling others, you're no longer looking to judge and to berate people for who they are, as well as yourself. I'm going to invite you to actually fall in love with the magnificent person that you are, and realize that no one else on the planet actually has your gifts and has the ability to move things forward in certain ways like you do. You know, we all have strengths and weaknesses, and unfortunately, we usually focus on our weaknesses first, and we beat ourselves up for not being perfect. We beat ourselves up for not falling into that ideal perfection model that we spoke about last week. And we actually suffer. We want things that we don't have. We have things that we don't want. We have situations in our lives that aren't working for us, and we seem stuck. And so what I'm going to invite you to do is to periodically, perhaps once a month, once every 2 months, go back and listen to Series 1, Series 2, or Series 3 of this self-esteem three-part series, and to actually look at when you're in a different place in your life, answer the questions. Go to the self-esteem workbook and the self-esteem book and to look at actually the exercises that I lay out there. Because whenever we grow, we're a different person the next time we do the exercises or the next time we're really exposing ourselves to this new material. And so my invitation to you is to commit now to the never-ending process of personal development and to actually look at what can you put into place today to have you fall in love with the person that you are, to actually forgive yourself for any shortcomings that you have, for being human, really, and to forgive others for being the same. And realize that really no one else on this whole planet possesses your unique combination of qualities, gifts, and talents that make you special, that make you who you are. And start to acknowledge yourself for these talents more often. Forgive yourself for falling short of perfection on a daily basis, and grant yourself the understanding and the respect and the compassion that you really give to, you know, your dearest and most trusted friend. And when you can continue to give up your right to judge yourself harshly and to catch yourself moment by moment when you recognize yourself judging, in other words, you start to take on the commitment that I will judge nothing today. I will not judge myself harshly today. I will look instead at what's missing that would support me to be happier, more fulfilled, more successful, more abundant, more charismatic, more a better listener, more able to contribute to relationships, more able to be a good friend. All of these different areas will support you to actually make this a lifelong pursuit where you start to catch yourself in your mood. You catch yourself when you're angry or when you're sad or when you're afraid. You start to look at the emotional responses of other people in a way where you're not attached to them. In other words, people don't trigger you to react. Instead, you see that everyone does the best that they can do, and that when they act in whatever way they act that doesn't support them, it doesn't mean that you have to buy into it. It doesn't mean that it has to trigger your upset if someone else is upset. You know, we have the ability to pull our own strings. We have the ability to actually to make life work optimally if we have that confidence in ourselves. And so what I'd like to leave you with are the 12 steps to restoring your self-esteem. The first is to identify the source of your low self-esteem and to start paying attention to what negative thoughts you bought into or interpreted about yourself on a daily basis, and to start looking at what new interpretations you can create. And for a refresher on that, I refer you back to Section 1 of the self-esteem book and also the first teleconference that we did where we went into great detail with respect to the difference between facts and interpretations. Secondly, I'd like you to construct a list of your negative qualities and one describing your strengths. And I'd like you to develop a plan where you start to work on the qualities that you wish to manifest. So what you're actually going to do is you're going to start putting more attention on your strengths. You're going to start acknowledging yourselves for the things that you do well. And you're going to identify the things that aren't working well in your life, the negative qualities that you recognize about yourself that manifest. And you're going to ask yourself, you know, what can I do to put into place to replace this negative quality with one that will support the declaration of who I am? Remember last week we talked about the declaration of declaring who you are for the world, giving up all of the disempowering evidence of your past that tells you you're anyone different than who you've decided to be. Thirdly, I'm going to ask you to take a look at the lingering upsets from your past and to really take some action to complete each of these upsets and to move on in your life in a powerful and a productive manner. So give up your right to punish yourself for anything in the past. Give up your right to punish others Let it go. Know that to the extent that you can let go of the hatred or the resentment or the anger or the sadness, you can actually free yourself up to create a new possibility for your future by living today. And number four is to decide to forgive those who have hurt you as you likewise forgive yourself. And remember that you can't forgive others until you've forgiven yourself. So I'm going to invite you to have to look at, are there any areas where you yet have not forgiven yourself, and what will it take for you to do so? Are you willing to do that and to move on? And then once you've done that, design an action plan to address and to complete with every strained relationship, with every person that you're not close to, with everyone that you're still incomplete with and there's some pain there. And with some you'll do it in person, with some you'll do it by phone, with some you'll write a letter, and with some you'll never mail that letter. So there's a lot of ways to complete. And again, I'd refer you back to the book with respect to some of those completion strategies. Number five is I'm going to invite you to design a specific dated plan to remove yourself from any abusive relationships. And these can be personal relationships. They can be relationships at work. They can be relationships with friends who aren't treating you right. And I'm going to invite you to actually let people know of your commitment to reinvent yourself and notify them that you're not going to permit others to treat you without respect any further. And so with some people, you'll need to sever relationships because if you're in a relationship with an abuser, someone who is gaining control over you by doing things that allow them to dominate you or control you in such a way that they don't feel good about themselves, and so the way that they deal with that is they seek to dominate others, and you happen to be one of those people. Well, there will be some people that you'll need to end those relationships if those people are not willing to take a look at interacting with you in a whole new way. And I'm going to invite you to be a stand for not being abused, not taking abuse, but forgiving people for it, but not putting yourself in the path of new abuse. I'm also going to invite you to practice creating new empowering interpretations daily about yourself. And so anytime that you make something up where you berate yourself or you feel badly about something that you did, I'm going to invite you to create a new interpretation that actually has you feel good about yourself in some way. And that's going to take some practice because it's a new muscle that will need to be developed. I'm also going to invite you to create a detailed, newly invented declaration about who you are that addresses every aspect of your self-image. And so we talked a little bit about the qualities that you'll embellish and you'll represent in our last session. So this declaration starts out with I am A, and then it is quality, 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 quality. I am a loving, charismatic, considerate, powerful leader who listens to the concerns and commitments of others and supports people to have fun. And I just made that up off the top of my head. And what I'd invite you all to do is to create an invented declaration about who you are and to write that down and to keep that in front of you so that now what you're doing is you're actually living on purpose that invented declaration. I'm also going to invite you to visualize your new positive self and to create that movie script of what your future is going to look like by creating a vision that's alive, inspirational to you, and actually is compelling so that you can't wait to realize that in your future. And I'm going to invite you to read that vision at least twice daily when you wake up in the morning and before you go to bed. I'm also going to invite you to create a series of positive affirmations that are based upon that vision and to write these on cards and position them around the house so that you actually have these affirmations in front of you and you can actually create a new tape in your head. And that could be a regular audio tape that you create with these affirmations, or it could just be one where you constantly read them to yourself and you declare who you are. And you constantly replace the dirty water in the glass with the clean, crystal clear water of the new empowered affirmations. I'm also going to invite you to surround yourself with people and things that reflect your self-respect and honor your worth as a person. All too often, we don't respect ourselves to put ourselves in situations where we honor ourselves. We don't surround ourselves with, you know, quality environment. We don't treat ourselves in such a way that who we are is well-respected and our environment is a reflection of that respect that we have for ourselves. I'm also going to invite you to start daily, and a good time to do it is at night before bedtime, starting to acknowledge yourself for some worthy accomplishment that you achieved that day. So instead of beating yourself up for doing something poorly, start to look for things that you've done right and acknowledge yourself daily for something that you did well this day. And I'm sure that every one of us can find at least one thing that we've done well if we look for it. And lastly, I'm going to invite you to form an accountability group of people who want to work together on progress with respect to honoring yourself and meeting your self-esteem goals, to actually moving that whole aspect of your life forward. And if I can support you in pairing you up with others who want to be involved in such a group, I'm happy to do so. So my email address, if you all don't have it, it's drj, Dr. J, Rubino, R-U-B-I-N-O, at email.com. And I'm going to invite you to be in touch with me if you have questions, if I can support you to return yourself to who you are, if you're interested in coaching with respect to any of these areas to move things forward. I'm just honored to have spent these last three sessions with you. I'm going to take a minute here just to see if there's any questions or any comments or if anyone has any contributions before we end tonight's session.
Joe, I just wanted to ask, you mentioned the positive affirmations. Now, I spend a certain amount of time in the home. Would you also recommend that maybe in the car these affirmations would be of value too?
Yes, absolutely, Hillary. There is a number of ways that you can have the affirmations work for you. One is, as I mentioned, just by writing them on index cards and putting them in the car, you know, in the bathroom, by your phone, in the kitchen, wherever you're going to see them. The other is to create a tape where you actually record the affirmations yourself as to who you are. And, you know, you can play those in the car. You can play those in a private tape recorder. And you can burn a CD with those if you'd rather. Or you could even put them on an MP3 player. The other possibility is the affirmations that I've created for people that want to hear my voice telling them how wonderful they are in 135 different ways. That's called Secret Number One Self-Motivation, and it will be available in about a week on CD. It had been available only through cassettes up until now, but it's now going to be available on CD. And so that's a CD where I tell you you're wonderful, you're powerful, you're competent, you're charismatic in 125 more ways. And I also did that with Dr. Eldon Taylor, who was the winner of the International Peace Prize last year for his work with supporting people to be excellent through subliminal messaging. And that product is both audible and subliminal together. So any of those ways, Hillary, would support you to keep the affirmations in front of you in such a way that you're constantly putting positive input into your mind as opposed to the negative input that you might be prone to put there without paying attention to it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Does that answer your question fully?
It does. That's great. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions or comments? Great. Well, I'd like to thank you for sharing the last 3 weeks with me. As I said, it's a continual process. I invite you to enter the personal development process where not only can you commit to supporting your own excellence, but the excellence of those people that you interact with daily. And if I can support any of you in any way, I hope that you won't hesitate to let me know. And I thank you for sharing these past three sessions with us. So good night, everyone, and here's to your magnificence. Good night.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.